الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah, barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, and some way of keeping or taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to this class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject would be on Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. He was the second Khalifa or the leader amongst the Muslims. First Prophet Muhammad, then Abu Bakr Siddiq, and then Umar was the third leader of the Muslims, but he was the second Khalifa of the Muslims. And you can look the word up for yourself later on pertaining to Khalifa and find out more information about that, the true information about what it means to be a Khalifa or the leader amongst the Muslims. And I picked him because I want to take you all from where he was to where he ended up being. He was a very kind of a big man. When he spoke, it's almost like you could feel him, feel his voice, because it was so strong. And people didn't mess with him. Yeah, this was before he became Muslim. They didn't mess with him. They knew how he was, and that he didn't have any problem with going after people, fighting people, that kind of thing. And so this is, I won't go into a lot of details about him, but this is who he was. And one of the main things I want to talk about is that how much he hated Islam. He hated Muslims because they're about changing society. They're about bringing something new to society to make the society better than what it is or what it was at the time. And so he hated the Muslims for whatever reason. Hated Muslims. He hated them. And so he was on his way to go and kill the Prophet Muhammad to end this whole thing regarding Muslims, because he was looked at as the leader of the Muslims, which he was. And so he was on his way to kill the Prophet Muhammad. And so on his way, he saw a man, and the man said to him, I think some of this I said to you all before, and the man said to him, you know, like where are you going? And so he said, well, I'm going to, and he told him what he was going to do. And then the man said, well, you know, kind of like, he was a Muslim himself. He didn't want him to know it. Umar to know that he probably would have killed him too. And so he said, well, I got to kind of distract him a little bit. So he told Umar about his ago, you know, before you do that and kill Muhammad, you need to look at your own family and what's going on with them. And so he went to his sister's house. And he served his recitation of Quran coming from his sister's house. This one man was teaching the sister and her husband Quran. And he basically banged on the door. I'm kind of summarizing things here, a paraphrasing thing. And so the man who was teaching, he went and he hid. And then the Umar was led into the sister's house, our brother-in-law's house. And then he accosted the brother-in-law. Said a few words to him, said it to, and his sister intervened. He said a few words to his sister pertaining to what was they listening to, what were they doing, and what was he listening to, what was he hearing. And so then he ended up striking his sister and drawing blood. He felt bad by that. He said, then he basically apologized for doing that. And then he asked again his sister, well, show me what you were reading. And the sister said, you cannot hold this or you cannot read it without first washing up. And so she had him to wash up, and then he read, and then he read Quran. And he read some verses from you all can turn to this chapter now, chapter 20. So, because you all should have a Quran near you, that is your main text for this class. We've been doing this weekly class for a long time now. I think since 2018, almost four years now. And so by now you all know what's going on. And me as your instructor and you as my students, you should have your Quran with you. And you come and you can get them for free. Go online and Why Islam and Others will send you Quran for free. Or you can go online and you can read along with me. And I'm going to read from our text. It's Quran. It's Quran. And that's going to be chapter 20, which is called Taha. T-A-H-A. Taha. And so that's the chapter we're going to read. And we're going to read, these are the verses that Umar read that changed his heart. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read just some verses from it. And it really got to him. And it says, Taha, we have not sent this Quran to put you in trouble, but as a reminder to those who fear Allah. This is a revelation from Him who has created the heaven and the earth and the heavens. Samawati wa art, the other heavens and the earth. And to Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and in the earth, and all that lies between them, and all that is beneath the soil. The one who to whom you need not speak aloud, for He knows what is said in secret and what is yet more hidden. He is Allah. There is no deity worthy of worship except Him. To Him belong the most beautiful names. So I'm going to stop there, and that's from verse 1 through verse 8 of Surah Taha. And you can continue to read it because it talks about Musa or Moses and different things going on with him. And to get into some other details, some things we know about, some things may not know about, but these few verses touched the heart of Umar. And he went from going to kill the Prophet Muhammad to going to where the Prophet was, not to kill him, but to what? But to become a Muslim. And so he was quickly turned around, and his heart quickly turned and twisted 180 degrees from I'm going to kill this man to now I'm going to embrace Islam. And why I'm talking about this man, not only because he was the second Khalifa of Islam or the third leader of the Muslims, is that he also like some of you are. I'm going to be straight with you. Some people who may be my students, you may not like Islam, but you may be sitting in the class learning more about Islam for whatever reason you're in the class learning about Islam. I'm not getting into that part and guessing why you're in class or why you're not in class, or you have some bad reason for being in class, or you have some good reason for being in the class. I'm not getting into that. But this particular man, he had this goal. And to go and kill the Prophet, and he read Quran. And just these few words that I read, it touched his heart. It was not poetry. It's not something that any man can write about. It came straight from Allah, Kalam Allah, the words of Allah, the speech of Allah. And so he read this, and it just twisted his heart from wanting to kill the Prophet to wanting to embrace Islam. And I pray that some of you would also read Quran, and some ayahs or some verses in Quran or chapters in Quran may also turn your heart towards what Islam is and what Islam is not. and not just go by what people think or what people say, because they want you, some people want you to be like them. They won't be happy until you like them, until you do what they tell you to do, or they're the ones guiding your heart. And I'm not trying to guide your heart. I'm not trying to open up your heart and pull into it Islam. I'm just telling you what Islam is and what Islam is not, and the proof is there for anyone to read it. And so you all are welcome to go ahead and read Quran and find out more information about this beautiful way of life that I embraced years ago. And I pray Allah that I continue to be Muslim and that I die on Sirat al-Mustaqim, on a straight path towards Allah. And so then he went to the Prophet Muhammad, and he went to him not to kill him. He knocked on the door where he was. Some people saw it was him, and then they said, "Well, look, it's Umar. What should we do?" And so the uncle of Hamza, who also embraced Islam, who was a very tough guy too, a hunter, and he said, "Let him in. There's no problem. Let him in. We're not afraid of him." And so they let him in. He came in and he embraced Islam. And alhamdulillah, he fell in love with Islam to the point that he told people, "We're going to make prayer. We're going to go around the Kaaba. And you all better not say anything to us or do anything to us, or you got to deal with me." And one story has it that Umar, that what he did is, and once he embraced Islam, he brought more strength to Islam, like many of you can embrace Islam and bring more strength to the Muslims, either with your wealth or your other abilities that you have or your skills. You can bring those skills to Islam and do things to help the growth of Islam and to please Allah. And that's it. Islam is going to grow with you there or not. But you can add to it and please Allah and be one of the people that are into Jannah, paradise, because you did things for the pleasure of Allah. And so people, they took him on. People fought Umar so much that he fought them. He tired out, took a rest, and fought people some more. So he wasn't playing. He fought them, and like I said, took a break and fought people because they were fighting against him. Because they loved him at first because they know he was Muslim. But once they found out he was Muslim, and then they turned on him. And they fought against him. And so he was one that defended the Prophet, that he loved the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He loved him so much that when they said that the Prophet Muhammad died, so what did Umar do? And he said that he died. He did not believe that the Prophet Muhammad was dead. And he said to the people, he said, "Look," he said, "anyone that said that the Prophet is dead, you got to have really answer to me. I have my sword in my hand," basically is what he was saying. "I'm going to take your life," because he loved the Prophet so much. "Don't tell me that he's dead." And to Abu Bakr Siddiq, the father-in-law of Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said, "Umar, basically, sit down. Be quiet." And Umar relaxed. And then at that point, Abu Bakr went. He ascended the minbar. And he said to the people, he said, "Those of you who worship Muhammad, know that he is dead. He's a man. He's dead. And anyone that worships Allah, know that Allah is alive. Allah is still alive after Prophet Muhammad is dead. And Allah still will be alive after we are dead." These are my words, of course. And so that's what he said. And so Umar calmed down even more. And then also Abu Bakr read some verses from Quran and then made Umar relax anymore and come to the reality that yes, this man is dead. And so he went from wanting to kill the man to the point of embrace Islam, to he got to the point that he said, "Don't tell me this man is dead." He loved the man so much. And then Abu Bakr became the second Khalifa of the leader of the Muslim, first Khalifa of the Muslims. And then later on, Umar became the second Khalifa among, or the third leader of the Muslims. And so what Umar would do is that he was the ruler over the Muslims during that time. And so I want you all to understand the kind of ruler that he was. He cared about the people. We have a lot of people who are politicians and leaders. They tell you, make all these promises, get in their various positions, and then when they get in their positions, you don't basically hear from them anymore until it's time for them to be reelected. Then they're smiling in your faces, or they have their signs up. You know what they do. And those who are leaders that are listening to me, this is what you do. Many of you, this is what you do. Now, some of you, granted, you may honestly do the job you were hired to do in representing the people and doing what the people want you to do in your position and representing well on the people that you're supposed to be representing. Great for you. Continue to do that work. But those who are not doing it, please take note of what this man did. Umar, who was the leader amongst the people. The people elected him after Abu Bakr said, you know, after he was getting ready to die, because he was the first Khalifa, he said, you know, basically, I'm dying. And so, look, you know, I suggest that Umar be the leader. And do you all agree? And then it had to unanimously, all of them basically had to agree, yes, we hear and we obey. We hear that Umar is our leader, and we will follow him, and we will follow what Umar tells us to do. So this is something that I want you all to keep in mind. And my estimate of Umar, he did what he was supposed to do as the leader amongst the people. The people was first. Abu Bakr himself, he used to tell the people when he first became Khalifa, the leader of the Muslims, he would say, look, you know, basically, the smaller of you is big to me, and the bigger of you is smaller to me. Meaning I cherish, or I put those, like the poor people and those people, you know, I see you, I hear you, and I'm not going to forget about you. I'm not going to forget the rich either, of course, but I'm not going to put my feet on the necks of those who have no voice. I am your voice. I am your leader. I'm your voice, and I'm going to look after you. I'm not going by what these people say I should do for you or to you. I want to hear what you have to say and what I need to do for you or to you. And Umar was the same way. Umar, Abu Bakr, they both will go around the village and find out who's in need, and then they will provide what the person has in need. For example, under the leadership of Umar, back around 640 AD, Arabia suffered from a serious drought. There were no rains. And such as there was no cultivation, and there was a serious famine. There was not a blade of grass to be found anywhere, and such as there was nothing for animals to graze, because of serious famine conditions, and the people were involved in great distress. Black dust storms blew over the countryside, and that added to the distress of the people. The people from outside the city flocked to the cities. There were not even grains in the marketplace. All grain disappeared, meat and butter and what have you disappeared from the marketplace. It became a serious problem to feed the people. Umar rose to the occasion. He wrote to the governors, asked them to send food grains to Arabia. Camel loads of food grains and other necessities of life came from Syria, Iraq, Egypt. Food grain were received from Egypt from the sea or by ships. Umar distributed food grains and other necessity among the people family-wise. Meals were cooked at the state level and all persons from the interior of the desert were, or the exterior from the desert, they took refuge in Medina and were fed daily at the expense of the state. Those people came from the outside, came to the inside to the city, and they were fed and taken care of by the people in the city. It was reported that 40,000 persons were fed every day. At night, he, meaning Umar, will move about from street to street to see for himself that all had been fed. Whenever any case of hardship came to his notice, he would rush relief immediately. He would in most cases carry the relief goods on his back. After taking his rounds, Umar would pray to Allah to the late hours of the night. He would then wake up in the early hours of the morning and again pray before going to the mosque to lead the morning prayer. This was Umar would do. Go from street to street to find out who was in need and then provide for him or for them. There was a time, do you know any leader, any politician that would do anything like that? I'm not getting on any particular politician in the country, in the city. I'm not going there. You know who you are. And those who are governed by them, you know who they are. Do any of them, and I pray they're listening to me and they will start doing this, find out who in their district or whoever they're representing or responsible for, find out who needs something. I don't care if I never be elected again. What do you need and can I provide it for you? Is it in my capacity to do so? Then I would try my best, myself and my staff would try my best to do for you, to help you out. I'm not asking you to reelect me. I just know you're in need and I'm positioned to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm positioned to feed you. I'm going to feed you. Umar was in position to summon or to tell the different governors, look, send me your extra food stuff so I can feed these people. And they heard and they obeyed what Umar told them to do and send their extra food stuff and food grain to Arabia to help with the drought situation and the famine, and well, basically the famine situation that was taking place in Arabia. And we need to do the same thing. Other countries, they may do that a lot. They may do it, but they may have political reasons for it. And Allah knows best for helping this country or helping that country. I won't get into any this country, that country, or name a country. I won't get into that. It's not important. You know who they are, and I know who they are, and they know who they are. But the thing is, my students, is that they should be looking out for you like Umar looked out for the people underneath him. Again, the man went from hating Islam and wanted to kill the leader of Islam to loving Islam and loving the people of Islam and providing for them when they were, where he could have said, look, I'm going to put a wall around the city. You guys fend for yourself. That's your problem. That is not my problem or our problem inside the city. He said, no, you flock and you came to the city. I'm going to take care of you. Or we're going to take care of you. The state is going to take care of you. And that's exactly what he did. He took care of his responsibility, people that he was overseeing. This is what he did. There was a situation one time. He was making his rounds throughout the city. He saw in distance his fire. And so he went towards the fire. As he got close to a fire, he heard these children crying. And then he got closer. He saw this woman with a pot of boiling water. And he saw these children around the pot. And they were crying. And he was kind of in the dark a little bit, so the woman couldn't see him. And he said, what's going on? What's happening? He said, well, I'm boiling this water, and my children are crying, and they will really ask outlast the boiling water. I don't have anything in the pot. The leader of us not looking out for us. And so I have to act like I'm cooking something for my children and let them cry themselves to street to sleep. And so Umar, he immediately turned around, went to Beit Omal, where they stored a lot of food stuff and grains and what have you. And he told a person who was my base director there, or the manager there, he said, give me some rice or give me some barley or give me some wheat, whatever it was. And, you know, I got to take it to this person. And the director said, look, you know, I'll take it out there. And Umar said to him, look, you're not going to carry my burden on the day of judgment. So you're not going to carry. This is my responsibility. You're not going to carry my burden now. It's my responsibility to take care of this lady and her children. So basically, I'm paraphrasing, basically put this weakness body, the weakness body, whatever, on my shoulders, and I will carry it out to the woman. And that's exactly what he did. He took care of that woman and her children, and she was able to feed her children. And then she had made some negative comments about Umar, who she still really didn't recognize him being the one that is the leader of the Muslims and was providing for her, and Allah knows best. And I know that we're running out of time. So some of the things that Umar established while being a leader, that he established the lunar calendar that most Muslims go by, that he was also one of the ones that I guess I would say he gained a great position when he expanded Islam to Iraq and to Egypt and to Libya and Tripoli and Persia and a lot of other different places that he spread Islam to. He was also a great administrator, and he wanted others to also be great administrators. And he had administrative jobs for the chief secretary, and also the military, the secretary of the military, and also the person who was the one that collected the revenue, and also established the police. And how a person was established to be the oversee the police, and also the person that oversaw what we call the treasury. And so this is very important aspect of this man, Umar, is that Umar was the first to establish a special department for the investigation of complaints against the officials of the state. Any governor in various states, people complained about that person, he didn't do that or whatever it was, then they had a department to oversee this person's action. And if any of this came to Umar, then Umar would be the first to say, okay, basically you're out of that position, and I'm going to put someone else in the position. He was the one to establish also the police force, as I mentioned before. Another great aspect of what Umar established under his leadership is that he banned governors or officials from engaging in trade or other sort of business dealings while being in a position of power. In other words, I could not have a business. I hope I'm saying this correctly, and that I'm overseeing the trade. So I'm going to make sure that my business make a lot of money off of the trade, or make rules and regulations that my business is going to make a lot of money. So those people who were the governors or the official, they could not engage in any kind of trade or any kind of business dealings while they're in their position of power. Because that a position of power, I mean, they could do basically whatever they want that will gain for them or their family members or their tribe or anything like that. He made sure that did not happen, and had the investigative team to make sure that any corruption that took place in government, that you had a team of people, they would go and they would investigate it, and they would follow the evidence. And decide the person could stay in that position or they're not going to stay in that position. So this was a quick story about Umar. There's a lot more about this man, Umar ibn al-Khattab. And I can't get into it all, but I'm just giving you just some information about him. And also, those of you who may be like him now, don't like Islam, but you can maybe read about Islam, probably embrace Islam, and you can possibly be similar to Umar. And so I pray that you learn from this lesson that I presented today, that perhaps you can also open your heart and your eyes to Islam. And I pray that Allah opens your heart and your eyes and your ears to Islam. To find out more and to learn more about the Islamic faith and increase your knowledge of Islam, you can always go to whyislam.org. You can also go to the International Online University or to American Open University. And none of these people pay me to do that. It's just that they offer degrees in Islam and also give you more information about Islam. You have been listening to the Islamic Faith in Focus, and I have been your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.